It really is so lovely to be back in Wisconsin for the second time this year. How crazy is that? I do feel very, very blessed, and even more blessed because the reason why I'm home right now is because my brother Luke is getting married. So I get a new sister-in-law soon, so that's really fun as well. But yeah, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Candy. I've been a full-time missionary for the last 6 years, serving with an organization called YWAM, which stands for Youth with a Mission. And yeah, for the first 5 years of my last 6 years, I was living in Townsville, Australia with Jared and Rebecca came a few weeks ago. I was with them in Townsville, Australia, and still with the same ministry, but I moved a little over a year ago now, full-time to Papua New Guinea. So it's really exciting to be able to do that. You might be wondering where in the world I always do this, and those of you who have been here for this, you know, I've seen this like more than six times now, but those of you who don't know, Papua New Guinea. So I live in where that red arrow is, Port Moresby. So this is Papua New Guinea. You can see like on the bottom there, it says Australia. So it's just north of Australia. It is a separate country from Australia. And it shares an island with Indonesia. You can see there. So that's where we're at in the world. And PNG is a developing nation. And so just to like give you a rough picture of what it means to be a developing nation. I've never been to Africa before, but whenever we have people who have been to Africa, like places like Ghana or Nigeria, they often say like, wow, it's almost like hard to tell the difference between those countries and PNG. Like it's pretty similar and, but also incredibly different. But just to give a rough idea of what it means to be in a developing nation. But where I am, we have electricity and water, but the systems aren't very reliable, so they get turned off sometimes. And we also have a generator that runs when the electricity is off, and we have a rainwater collection tank as well. So it's community development. It's figuring out how do you develop a community and help bring life and life to the full. So that's kind of cool. But today I just want to talk a little bit I'll talk a little bit about the mission at the end, but beforehand, I just have a story came to my mind when I was thinking and praying about what to share about today, and it was back in 2015, and I had the opportunity to sit down with like an older Australian gentleman. Honestly, when I sat down next to him, he like reminded me so much of like Mickey Keepers. For those of you who know him, but an Australian version of him. And so I was like soaking it all up, like, okay, give me your wisdom. But so I was sitting down next to him, and he was actually, his name was Tom Hallis, and Tom was one of the first missionaries with YWAM to Papua New Guinea. And I just sat there and listened to story after story of his time in PNG. And he shared about the circumstances that he and his tiny little team had in this nation, and it really grew my heart for the nation. But and he would talk about like the circumstances that they faced and the way that God would move, and he would talk about the difficult things that he faced as well. But he did it with such a joy and such a hope. And I remember just straight up asking him, like, how in the world did you do it? Like, how did you keep on doing this year after year after year without burning out, without getting exhausted, without being discouraged by like the great disparity between like what you want it to be and what it is currently? Like, how do you keep hope? And he looked at me and he said, like, that early on in his ministry, he learned that like gratefulness is the seedbed of hope. Gratefulness is a seedbed of hope. So how he kept hope was being grateful. And I was like, oh yeah. And I still like remembered that conversation. And, but it honestly wasn't until COVID that it really like started to make sense to me. So as a ministry, like the global lockdowns, and meant that we're losing staff members left, right, and center. Like we were dwindling down to like very, very few numbers. Many of our schools that, previously had been like huge numbers of schools coming through. They were just tiny numbers and only Australians because nobody could come in from other countries. We had our medical ship ministry that was running and thriving in Papua New Guinea was all put on hold because our ship had to come back to Australia. And each staff member who did stay, they like took on extra burdens of responsibilities, but also the extra burden of like not knowing when they would be able to go home next and see their families again. And it was just a really heavy season, to be completely honest. Just like everyone in the nation, it was a pretty heavy season. And especially because we just had no idea what the long-term effects were going to be on the ministry of, like, what would travel look like in the future? Like, our ministry is completely reliant on travel and things like that. So what would it look like? What were our operations going to look like in the future? And from that time, started feeling like we were starting from scratch in a lot of ways. And the verses that held me through actually came from Isaiah 51, 1 to 6. And in this passage, So Isaiah 51, 1 to 6. So in this passage, the prophet Isaiah is looking ahead to a time when God's people would be under Babylonian captivity and that they were discouraged by their small numbers. So it felt really relevant. Like, I know that we weren't under captivity, but it felt really relevant because it was the small numbers and felt like we were starting from scratch as a ministry, as a nation. So in this passage, God was telling them to hold on to hope. And how did he do it? He did it by reminding them that he had moved and carried them through in the past. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it. I'm just going to turn around and read it. I hope that's okay. So listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was only one man, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like a garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instructions will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait and hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. And, yeah, I just love that, like, that whole idea that, like, God was trying to, he was bringing hope to a people group, and how he was doing that was reminding them of the past and how he was faithful to them and reminding them to be grateful for that as well. And so it kind of, anyway, so like in verses 1 and 2, like he's saying, like, look at the very fabric of how your nation was formed. You may be discouraged that you are few in number, but you came from only one man and one woman, and you grew into a nation, and I will do it again. He's telling them to remain grateful for the ways that God has moved before and use that gratefulness to grow hope for the current circumstances. And then in verse 3, it says that joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. And what I love about this is that he's saying that even in these times, which are so difficult, it will become a thing you will praise God for and be grateful for, like how I will move you and carry you out of this future. And it's not saying that you'll, like, oh, wow, those are the best days of my life at all by any stretch of the imagination. But it is saying, like, there will be things in this situation that even this you will be grateful for, and it will lead you to singing and joy. And I think that's kind of crazy that even in just the worst of circumstances that there are always things that, like, will become your story for next time you're in a hard situation. The way that God is faithful in the last hard situation is what will carry you through in the next one. And I just think that's really beautiful. The story will become a light to the nations, and the islands will look to God and wait in hope. The story will become a testimony to others about my faithfulness and justice and salvation. I always like when the Bible mentions the islands, because, like, it's like this far off place, but I now live in the Pacific Island, so I just, like, picture my island. But, I just love this even more because it's talking about, like, this is so beyond even you. Like, it will go farther and farther, the impact of my faithfulness on you. Yeah, but yeah, to bring it back to the phrase that this old missionary Tom told me, gratefulness is the seedbed of hope. So this scripture is telling them that they have hope for the future. You must focus on the ways that you are grateful for, that in order to have hope for the future, you must focus on the ways that you are grateful for the past. And it's been really fun to see, like, all of the tractors preparing the fields recently, like this week. Like, whenever I see the big sprayers, I always think that they look like a big robotic spider. So brings me back to Australia and the land of the spiders. But I just think it's really fun to watch. But like, farmers all know that if you want good plants to grow, you need to prepare the soil, right? Like, everyone knows that. And gratefulness is how we prepare the soil of our hearts so that hope may grow. And this scripture is talking about being grateful for the past, but I think that the same can be said about finding ways to be grateful in our current circumstances. I find that if I'm focusing a lot on the negative, it's really hard to see how circumstances can be any different in the future. Like, those of you who don't know, I'm a teacher by trade. That's what my university schooling was on and what I do a lot now as well. So like, let's just say I'm frustrated with a student in my class. If I just focus on how little Billy is disrespectful and he never does his homework and he doesn't listen in class and he doesn't know his math facts and he can hardly read, it's actually going to be really difficult for me to help him to grow and develop. Because I've totally written him off in my mind. Not only would it would make me a really, really bad teacher, but also my lack of hope for him would carry on and make him feel like he's also a lost cause. And instead, like, I have learned, it's like over and over again, you have to learn this as a teacher, that like, you actually celebrate the victories. So you get excited about how he skip counted by two for the first time today. Or you get excited about how, you know what, he learned one new sight word this week. He was supposed to learn 10 new sight words, but he learned one new sight word this week. So I'm going to celebrate that one new sight word that he learned. Or you know what, he was able to sit through 5 minutes of my lesson today, and I hope that during those 5 minutes, he got something out of that. Like, you focus on those positive things, even though it might not be what you wanted it to be yet. You rejoice in those victories, and you're grateful for those victories. It actually gives, like, both yourself as you're continuing to try to work with the kid and, Billy, like, more hope and motivation to keep on going. And that's, like, that same concept can be translated and applied to relationships. You get frustrated with, like, oh, you know, he did it again. Like, oh, my friend was, he said that phrase that I didn't want him to say again. And I just, oh, I got so frustrated. Or like, oh, you know, he did it again, forgot to think about this, you know, or whatever it is. Like, if you focus on the negatives of that instead, or work situations or frustrations with community as well, even like my work in a developing nation, the only way that we can have hope for tomorrow, that tomorrow will be better, is if we remind ourselves of the things that we're thankful for today. And I just loved hearing Joey stand up here and, like, just in front of everyone was like, thank you, True Ed. Thank you, Scott. Like, thank you to all these people. And I just think that was a really beautiful representation of, like, yeah, we're thankful for what is today. And that gives us hope for tomorrow. Yeah, and if we are really struggling to think of things that we're thankful for today, then think back further. Where in our past, or in history, including biblical history, that's why we study our Bible, can we look to and be thankful for today? Yeah, and I swear it makes all the difference. In Hebrews 6:19, this is just part of it, but it says that hope anchors the soul. And we often confuse the soul and the spirit, but in the Bible, when they talk about soul, they're actually talking about like a living, breathing, conscious body, not necessarily about the spirit. And so it's also often referred to like as our mind and our emotions. So what this verse is saying is that hope anchors the soul. It's saying that it grounds our body, our mind, and our emotions. And there are countless like psychology studies that I'm not going to get into today that support this biblical truth, that having hope and having gratefulness actually like grounds your body and your mind and your emotions. And I just think that's really cool when like science catches up to the truth of the Bible. But so yeah, today, as you guys shared things that you're thankful for, with here at the church, I just wanted to do the same. Hopefully these things that you're thankful for can also, or that I'm thankful for can also be things that you guys are thankful for, because you're definitely a part of this. But also, like, at this core, this is a missions update, so it's good for me to share these things as well. But, so yeah, some of the ways that I'm grateful and hopeful relating to our work in Papua New Guinea, and may it encourage you and grow your hope in your own heart. So I am so grateful for our medical patrol teams. We have, like, nurses and other medical professionals on staff, and some who come in from international as well, who go to Western Province in Papua New Guinea, which is one of the most remote places on earth, with some very, very, very big health challenges. They stay for weeks on end and bring medical services and health education to these beautiful people who live there. And in the top picture, my friend Sarah is teaching a group of women about safe and clean birthing practices. So many mothers die giving birth either during the birthing process or shortly after due to infection from unsanitary birthing conditions, giving birth just in the mud, things like that. And so, yeah, she was helping to show them like what they can do even in their current circumstances to help make sure that their birthing practices are sanitary to help reduce that mortality rate for these mothers and children. And I just think that's really beautiful. And they go out in these boats up these rivers for many hours, and they travel through mud that sometimes up to their thighs and to go there. And I just think I'm just really thankful for them, and I'm thankful for the healthcare workers that they get to meet out there as well, Papua New Guinean healthcare workers that they work alongside. And it's just really encouraging to see, and seeing people like them like gives me hope for the medical conditions in the future for that area as well. Also really grateful for, we do similar outreaches throughout Central Province, which is like the province surrounding Port Moresby, where I live. It's pretty close. But we were gifted two boats. You can see one of them says Viking 1. We have Viking 1 and Viking 2. They're gifted from Norway. So it kind of makes sense. I swear it has nothing to do with the Minnesota Vikings. I cringe every time I say it. But but these boats, they've become a bit of a replacement for the medical ship that we had in the past. And with these boats, we were able to travel village to village to do health education and medical services, but also youth engagement seminars as well. So we teach the youth about having healthy relationships and about living out their calling and purpose in God and about the love that God has for them. Recently, we were able to use these boats to respond to an outbreak of HIV that was happening. It was found in a high school, so some kids as young as 13 years old had been tested positive for HIV, and they were just finding more and more, and they're like, we need a team here. And so we were able to go in with our nurses and with our some people who had been trained in HIV counseling, and they went in and they were able to talk about healthy relationships and like, okay, this is spreading because obviously we're not having healthy relationships. So what does it look like to have biblical healthy relationships? And so they also did HIV education, and they were able to test the students and find treatment for the students who tested positive as well. And you can live many years like just on medication with HIV. So it actually brought a lot of hope, being able to test and like they can live a normal life if they continue on in the HIV medication, which is really, really exciting. There was a really positive response to it, and it was really cool to like address like both the physical issues as well as like the heart issue in the situation, and to bring in encouragement and hope in that. We also have, I'm going to be very early. I just realized the time. But we also have a dental semi-trailer that goes to schools throughout the city of Port Moresby. Many kids are experiencing a lot of pain and like whole body symptoms from having like rotting teeth and no access to dental care. So right when I was leaving, we were doing our second outreach in a school in Port Moresby. And it would be so interesting to get It would be really interesting to me to get a proper picture of like how many kids don't go to school because they have tooth pain. Because just working in some of the schools, I've noticed it. Like, I'll be like, oh, why isn't so-and-so here today? And they'll be like, oh, he has tooth pain. I'm like, oh, you're missing out on education time and so much and just living in pain that is so easily removed and treatable. And so, yeah, we've been able to take in this semi-trailer. You can see back there, it says YWAM. That's the semi-trailer that goes to the schools. Our team goes in and does like teaching on like proper care of their teeth and proper nutrition, as well as continuing to weave in their value in God and the hope and life that he brings. And the kids have an opportunity to see the dentist. Most of these kids, it will be the first time in their life that they have ever seen a dentist. And for some of them, the reality is that the, you know, times that the dental trailer comes through their school might be the only times in their lives that they'll see a dentist. So making sure that we're doing lots of good health education, how to brush your teeth properly. And it's been really encouraging to see, different teams come in. And we take like international teams as well. So like if you guys would want to come at some point and to teach kids how to brush their teeth, it's really fun. Like you get to sing little songs and be silly. But it's really, really memorable and it has a really big impact. This one, the next picture here is really exciting to me. We've had several people from this church and several more who are going, do discipleship training schools. And we have, we're continuing to do discipleship training schools from the Port Moresby campus as well as the Townsville campus. But it's been really cool to see, like, there's been a great myriad of fruit from the schools that we run. In the picture, you can see this is the discipleship training school team that just finished their first 3 months of lectures. And just this week, they were sent out to Indonesia, a Muslim nation, to serve and to share about the love of God. And this is actually our first team that we've seen sent out from Papua New Guinea to the nations, as we believe that every nation is both a missionary receiving nation and a missionary sending nation. And so this is really exciting to see these guys go out. You can see there's someone from the UK, someone from Norway, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Papua New Guineans going on that team. So, and they're in Indonesia right now. We also have healthcare schools, and one of our, the Introduction to Global Healthcare and Development School, they finished in December our first time running a full course, which was really exciting. And of those graduates, all of them are continuing on in the medical field. Some of them are coming back on staff and continuing in that way, but several of them, like Papua New Guineans, are going on to be community health workers, to work in rural communities, to be like the on the ground, always the person that you can go to receive medical services. And so that's been really cool to see. We have one who's going on to be a nurse in Papua New Guinea as well, which is like the next level of healthcare workers. And so it's just really cool to see like their heart be broken for the realities of their own nation and like wanting to make a difference. And truly like them as Papua New Guineans, they're going to be able to make a far greater impact in their own nation than we ever could. So it's just really exciting to see them catch that vision and run with it. It's been really cool. And we also have a discipleship Bible school that's running right now, and they're on outreach as well. And they're going village to village doing Bible teachings, Bible overviews. They're handing out Bibles. It's actually quite difficult to get a Bible in your hand in PNG because there's no like Bible publishers. And so we were able to bring in a bunch of Bibles and give them out. And you hand out a Bible to someone and sometimes it's just like weeping, like, oh, thank you. Like, and even those who aren't literate, you hand out, like, there's an audio Bible proclaimer, it's called. And they can sit there and you teach them about how to like run a Bible study and listen to the Bible together as a group. And so they just can sit there and listen to the Bible in their language, a lot of them. We have a lot of languages that have yet to receive Bible translation, and that's something that YWAM's working on as well with other organizations. But to be able to, for those who have the proclaimer in an audio Bible already, like they can sit there and listen to it in their language, which is how stories get passed on in their cultures. And yeah, like have it become like real heart understanding rather than just this concept that like, oh yeah, God died for me, but I haven't heard his word yet. Like, can you imagine that? So these guys are able to hear their word, the word of the Lord, which is really exciting. And and then our purpose in leadership development school as well, like training up leaders to be leaders in their community, leaders in their churches, and leaders in missions. But yeah, some of you may remember that when I was here over Christmas, I was going back to start a literacy program at a local school. And many of you collected bottle caps for me, which is they've become letter caps. I put letters on them. And so it helps the kids with letter recognition and with word formation and things like that. And it's been really fun. I have a picture of it in a later slide as well. But this is the Literacy for Life program. So when I returned last year, or earlier this year, I was able to train up these ladies on the top, as well as some of the YWAM staff, on how to sit one-on-one with third grade children, specifically third grade child at a time who's struggling with reading, and to help them learn how to read. And they would just meet with them for 20 minutes a day, three times a week. They meet with three different students in a week, you know, that many times over again. And I'm just so incredibly thankful for these ladies who I call them my PNG mamas, and they call me their daughter. And I think that's really sweet as well. It's so relational and so family oriented over there, which is really awesome. But all of these ladies have children and grandchildren of their own. And all but two of them are actually widows. But they were moved into action by the reality of the young people in their village. They were telling me stories about like some young people who actually went to school all the way up through grade 8, but how so many of them, even at having finished grade 8, that they're not reading at all, even simple words, things like that. I'm like, oh, how did they get through school? But it just seems like they've gotten passed through the system and just totally looked over. And so these ladies were wanting to be a part of changing that, because they're seeing that their kids and their grandchildren are having a really hard time with like figuring out what to do next. They talk about how they just wander the streets and they seem like they're aimless in their life. And so they're like, I think that the way that we like nip this problem in the bud is to do literacy training. So I'm so incredibly thankful for these ladies. I'm thankful for these kids as well. Look at the kids on the bottom. They're just so fun. This picture is some of the boys that are in one of the grade 3 classes. In addition to the ladies doing the literacy lessons, I actually started to randomly take this class for about 1 hour a day. And it's about a class of 60 kids, 60 third graders. And while they wait for their teacher to show up, who's always late. So I just take them for 1 hour, and it started because I like was over there talking to them and we tested the whole grade 3 before we identified the students who would be in the literacy program. And so I got to know some of the kids, and I was over there talking to them, and they literally begged me to teach them their letter sounds. They're like, we see that you're like teaching the letters to all the to those kids. Can you teach us as well? It's like, yeah, I guess so. So I started to teach them the letter sounds, things like that. And they were starting to get more and more comfortable with it. And then we were doing, I'd bring in like these little leveled readers that had been donated, like this really simple reading books. And they would they soaked them up. They would have like 10 kids around one book, because I just didn't have enough for everyone. They'd have 10 kids around one book reading it, and they'd get so excited, and they'd all read it in unison, and then they'd like get excited to swap the book with the next group so that they could just continue to rotate them. And I think they have read those books like hundreds of times at this point. I'm sure that they have them memorized and are not actually reading them anymore, so I'm working on switching those out. But it's just been really cool to see like just the genuine excitement and passion that they have for learning. And it's been really cool to be a part of. Here we go. I'll give a little bit of statistics on how the program is going. So when we selected the students for the Literacy for Life program, the ones who would be matched with the literacy tutors, the students that we grabbed made part of the program, they could name on average 10 letters. So that's like if they see an F, they could be like, that's an F. They could do that on average to 10 letters. And now our students are able to recognize on average 24.5 of the letters, which is, you know, they've had 2 months of lessons so far, which, you know, 8 weeks, 8 times 3 is 24. They've had 24 lessons so far. Only a couple hours, and they've advanced that much. And 70% of the students know all of their letters now, which is really exciting. And before the program, the students knew on average 3 letter sounds. And so they could see that F and they could say, that letter makes the F sound. Now our students know on average 20 of the letter sounds, which is really exciting. Some of them are, you know, they just know 20, and some of them know them all, very, very comfortable with them, and are reading comfortably now as well. So that's really cool. Back in February, none of the students in the program were able to read at all, not even a word like hot. Opt. They couldn't read that yet, which makes sense because they don't know their letters yet. but now on average, our students have gone up 1.2 reading levels. So 1.2 grade levels, basically, is what you can take that as, which is really cool. And some of the students have yet to advance to level one yet because they're still learning their letters. But we also have some students who have advanced 4 or 5 reading levels, or 6 reading levels, which is not quite 4 to 5 or 6 grade levels. But anyway, it's about that. So it's incredible to see that sort of progress in just the couple months that we've been doing it. It's definitely, the progress has been better for the students who come more regularly. We're still definitely struggling with student attendance. That can be something that you guys could pray for. But it's just been really special to be a part of the school so consistently for such an extended period of time. I really feel like I've gotten to see like the best and the worst of the school. Several times I've been able to like encourage and pray with the teachers when they're feeling discouraged. We've been able to help problem solve different things in their classrooms, like even behavior management things. And okay, behavior management, let's talk about this. You're noticing that yelling at the kids isn't working. What's some better ways that we can like help manage this classroom rather than threatening and yelling and things like that? Being able to like help problem solve those things, which has been really cool. As well as just like we've been able to problem solve some things in the school in general and how it works. We were able to, I'll show this. So this is one of the classrooms for the grade 3 students. And you can see there that it doesn't have a roof on it. And I wish I had an after picture. I just forgot to take a picture. But we were able to help actually advocate and get some of the local men to put a roof on the classroom, because we were finding that anytime the sun was really hot or anytime it was raining a lot, the students would get sent home for the day. We live in the wet tropics. It is either rainy or sunny every day. These kids were having nearly no nearly no classroom time. Because they were always being sent home. And so we were able to talk to the men's fellowship in the village, and they were able to put up just some easy tin on top of that roof. And we're also in the progress of helping to advocate. Some of the grade 4 through 6 classes still don't have any classrooms at all. They sit on the muddy ground with a tent over them. And so it's a really big issue. Honestly, there's been a lot of corruption and things like that involved with the situation. It's very political and messy, but we're able to continue to be a voice for these kids, being like, okay, let's keep on, like, not just push this to the side, let's keep on like working so that we can get this these classrooms built. And so that's been really cool to be a part of as well. But even more than that, like, we've been able to be a part of helping those local mamas have a voice in their local school, and they feel really empowered to make a difference as well. They themselves have become advocates for their own students and, even just kids in the village. One of them is actually running her own literacy program, like outside of YWAM, with the skills that we were able to train them with. She does it every afternoon with the whole group of kids under her house, and it's really exciting. The school's also really interested in presenting opportunities to these ladies so that they could go on for additional training through the education district so that they might become teachers in that school in the future. And I see that they would be really, really good teachers. And there's some issues with the teachers who are working there. There's always issues, but no matter what. But these kids, these guys are so, so motivated, and I would just love to see them be able to be employed in this way and make a difference in their community in that way. And as I said, this program hasn't been without its struggles, and I really would ask that you pray for student attendance and things like that, and just in general, like finances for the program and for the school. I'd love to see those buildings be built, and community development in a developing nation is always slow moving. You don't want to just come in and take over. You want to encourage them to do it themselves. But it's just been really cool to be able to be a part of, like, okay, what would it look like to make this place look like bring more life to their community? And so it's been really encouraging to be a part of. And the last thing that I want to say that I'm grateful for is I'm grateful for you all. I can say that every single time I come back home, I'm just so encouraged, about the church as a whole and about what's happening in the community. I feel so loved and encouraged as well. I also hope that you feel encouraged about some of the fruit that's happening in Papua New Guinea. Because that fruit is also a part of your fruit for the kingdom of God, as this church is the church who sends me out to serve and supports me in prayer and in finances. I am a full-time volunteer, and I do raise my own support and funds to pay for essentials. So, like, it just literally would not be possible without all of you. So I just am very, very thankful for you all. And I remind myself of that daily, of how incredibly blessed I am with the community that I come from. So thank you all very much.